Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm nearing the end of my sixth week of teaching on how to find and then how to follow God's will. I've actually got 2 5-part albums. The first one is entitled How to Find God's Will. We spent 3.5 weeks on that. Now we've been talking about how to follow God's will for about 1.5 weeks. And I tell you, I've covered some powerful, powerful things. I wished I could go back and sum it all up, but I just hadn't got time to do it. On our program yesterday, I began to talk about how to follow the peace of God in your heart. And I'm sharing this from basically my testimony, that this is one of the very first things that God revealed to me. When I had my miraculous encounter with the Lord, March the 23rd, 1968, I was in my first year of college. And immediately, I lost my desire to go to college. And I not only lost the desire, I got to where I hated going to college. I just knew that there had to be something more for me than this. And I started to follow the desires of my heart. Remember, I taught on that out of Psalms 37:4. But because of the negative reaction from my mother, from my brother, my sister, all of my relatives, my leaders in the church, everybody came out against me. Plus, there was physical things such as the government was paying me to stay in school. I had a student deferment from the draft if I stayed in school. There was just a lot of things. And because of all of this, I decided to continue to go to school and just follow what was logical, but I was going against the desires in my heart. And then the Lord spoke to me in Romans 14:23 and said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I didn't desire to go to school, and yet I was doing it because I was letting other people control my life, and it wasn't what I thought God wanted me to do. And the Lord showed me that that was sin. It would be better for me to stay in school and do it in faith or to get out of school, but to stay in indecision in between, hating what I was doing and yet doing it because I felt like I had no option, was sin. And when I saw that, I made a decision I was going to get out of sin. So I came home and I began to start dealing with this, and I had determined that before midnight that night, I would make a decision of whether God wanted me in school or out of school. And at the end of the program yesterday, I was sharing that I stumbled upon this verse in Colossians 3:15 that says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And the Lord spoke to me that I just needed to go with the direction that I felt peace about. And the word rule, I mentioned this yesterday, it's basically the word we get umpire from. And it means that you just have to make a decision, and you can't say, well, I'm going to defer. I'm not going to make a decision. Indecision is a decision. And the Lord showed me from Romans 14:23 that indecision is sin. I had to get into faith, and it didn't matter which direction I went. Even if I, you know, the Lord spoke this to me, that even if I made a wrong decision, but I did it in faith, that He could bless that. Even if it was totally wrong, but if I did it in good heart, trying to follow the will of God, He could bless that. But God cannot bless indecision. Again, that ship, you can take a rudder on a ship and flip it 360 degrees, and it'll give no direction to the ship until it starts moving. But even if it's moving slowly, a rudder can begin to start moving a ship. God can bless when you make a decision. Even if you make a mistake and make the wrong decision, God can bless that, but He cannot bless indecision. And so I made a decision that, praise God, I was going to decide that night whether to get in school or out of school. But as I began to pray about it, I didn't feel, it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. I didn't feel total peace about getting out of school because I knew if I did, that people weren't going to understand. I'd already been threatened to be kicked out of the school. I mean, excuse me, out of my church. I went through this on yesterday's program. I won't go back through it, but it was a highbrow church. They thought that education was next to God. And if I said that God told me to quit the University of Texas at Arlington and not go to school, I was actually threatened to, they were going to bring it to a vote and excommunicate and kick me out of the church. I know some of you have a hard time believing that, but that's my experience, and that's what happened. This choir director actually told me that. And I probably didn't I know I didn't respond very well. I told him, I said, look, fella, I grew up in this church. I've known every person in this church longer than you have. You've been here 6 months. I said, if you put it to a vote, we'll vote you out. I just challenged him, and he backed down. But I mean, I was getting criticized, and I was having people come against me, and so I didn't feel total peace. And so as I thought about my two options, you know, this is how you discern the peace of God. You consider your options. And let me just put a little PS in. You need to make sure you're considering all of the options. Sometimes I think people ask God, is it A or is it B, when you should have C in there, none of the above. God may have something for you that is not just between these two things. But in my situation, it was a clear choice. I felt like God had told me to quit school just based on the desires of my heart. But it was either get in school or out of school. So those were the only two options. And as I considered these options and I used my imagination to think what was going to happen if I chose to stay in school, I felt zero peace. I mean, zero peace. Matter of fact, not only was there a lack of peace, there was a huge turmoil and just hatred. When I thought about that, there was zero peace in that direction. I didn't feel total peace when I considered quitting school because I knew I was going to be criticized. I knew I was going to lose friends. I knew I could lose money. I knew I could be drafted. And I didn't feel total peace. And so I struggled with this for a while. And finally, here's the way that the Lord put this to me. He said, if you had to make a decision right now, which I'd already decided I was not going to be living in sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so I did have to make a decision. And if that decision was going to cost you your life, it was a life and death decision, which in a sense this was, because if I decided to get out of school, I lost my student deferment. I could go to Vietnam and it could have cost me my life. And so if you have to make a decision right now, which I did, and if this decision would cost you your life, in other words, if somebody had a gun to your head and you choose, and if you make the wrong decision, boom, it's going to cost you your life. Which one would you make? Well, you know, with those kind of criteria, there was no doubt. I felt the most peace about quitting school. I actually felt a little bit of excitement about that. But when I considered staying in that university, I had zero peace. And so the way I decided was to just say, Father, I don't have total peace. This is a leap of faith for me. I'm not sure that I'm doing the right thing. Everybody else tells me I'm wrong. Wisdom, logic would tell me that I'm wrong. But this is what I feel the most peace about. And so I decided to just make a decision based on letting the peace of God rule in my heart, Colossians 3:15, that I was going to quit school and believe that that was God's will. So I made that decision. I went to bed. And the next morning, here's another piece of advice that I think could help you. I wasn't 100% sure. I had let the peace of God rule in my heart. I'd made a decision, but I could have missed it. I could have messed up. And so rather than go full steam ahead and go straight to school, cancel, drop out, cancel all of my courses and do something that was irrevocable, first what I did was going to just start moving in that direction. I tested the waters. And what I did was go to three people who I considered to be very spiritual people, people who had had an impact on my life, and I went and just submitted my decision to them. And all three of these people were people who had told me that I was missing God, that this was the devil, don't you dare do it. There was zero doubt in their mind. They were the hardest cases, the people who had been the meanest to me. I mean, not mean in the sense that they were bad, but just the people who were so adamant against what I'd done. One of them was a choir teacher that I had in high school. And this lady, Miss Ellis, she was a friend of my mother, and she was an outspoken Christian. I remember even in school that, you know, there's times that we would pray, that she would talk about the Lord. And anyway, we had established a little bit of relationship, and I just respected her. And I went and told her, you know, a few weeks before that I was going to quit school. And because she was a friend of my mother's, she was a school teacher, she jumped on me like a chicken on a June bug and told me that that's not God. You are making a mistake. And she just got, strong with me. She's the first person that I went to see. And I walked in and saw her. And I said, Miss Ellis, I said, I've made my decision about school. And she said, what is it? And I said, I'm quitting school. God told me to quit school. And I just said it. I didn't explain it. I just dropped the bomb, waiting on her response. And you know, to my surprise, she looked at me and she got tears in her eyes. And she says, I'd give anything to be in your situation. And I was just absolutely shocked. I mean, I was braced for her to get on my case and start rebuking me. And to my surprise, she got tears in her eyes. And she says, I'd give anything to be like you. And I said, why is that? And she says, you know, I don't know how old she was. I mean, when you're 18 years old, everybody looks ancient. I just saw her recently at my mother's memorial service in 2009, and I think she's 91 now. Still really in great shape and look good, but she says, I used to be your teacher, now you're teaching me. She watches me on television. But anyway, she says, I'm however old she was, and she says, I don't know for sure that I've done what God told me to do. And she says, you are so blessed to have direction for your life at 18 years of age. Man, that was completely opposite the response that I thought. And I mean, when I walked out of there, it was like, you talk about confirmation. You know, the Bible, I was using that example that you can give a ship direction by the rudder. And I was just barely moving. I was just testing the waters. But I mean, instantly, I began to start getting confirmation. God started bearing witness. I saw a person who was just adamant that I was missing God and that this was of the devil turn around and say, this is God. And I went to those three people all that morning. One of them was my youth director who had told me that just in deference to my mother, I needed to honor her as long as I lived at home. And my mother had told me just that week before I made this decision, she says, I don't think that this is God's will for your life, but I've trained you to always follow God. And if you think this is God, you do what God tells you to do. So she wasn't in agreement, but she had given me the right to go ahead and follow whatever God wanted me to do. And I went to this man who had given me this advice. And I mean, he was just adamant that this is not God. And I told him, and he confirmed it. And he says, you know what? I think it is. I think God's leading you. And by noon that next day, after I had let the peace of God start ruling in my heart, did you know by noon the next day, I knew that this was God leading me. And so I quit school and I made this decision. And sure enough, I got drafted. I got sent to Vietnam. I lost this income from the government. But you know what? I've never looked back. And in hindsight, I can really see the wisdom of God. Because at that time, I was a Baptist. And nothing against the Baptist. I got born again through the Baptist and I was serving them. But, you know, I don't know how long it would have taken me to wean myself away from some of the things that the Baptist didn't believe that I now believe. But when I went into Vietnam, I was separated from everything. And for anywhere from 12 to 15 hours a day, I just sat and read the Bible. And I didn't mean to do it. I didn't do it intentionally. But when I came out of Vietnam, I wasn't a Baptist anymore. I went back to my Baptist church and they didn't want me. They said, we don't agree. They asked me to leave. And you know what? In hindsight, God did things in 19 months in my life that it could have taken 19 years to have happened otherwise. It turned out to be a great thing. I didn't know all of that. I just knew that I'd lost my desire to go in this direction. And I decided to let the peace of God rule in my heart. And you know, it came to pass. And it was one of the wisest decisions that I've ever made. I tell you, I would highly recommend it. And this is just really simple, but you can let the peace of God rule in your heart. You know what I'm going to do on the rest of today's program? I'd like to play a little DVD for you about Leland Shores. And this is a man who was working at the Dallas Art Museum, making a good money, had a career, and yet he lost his desire to just go that direction. He committed himself unto the Lord. And I mean to show you where he was in his relationship with the Lord. When the Lord told him that he needed to turn his life over to him, Leland was going to go spend a year in monasteries around the country. He thought that that was the way that he would commit his life to the Lord. His mother was a partner of ours and steered him towards our ministry. He came to our school, and within just a very short period of time, he's now in Uganda. God is using him. He's met with the president and the first lady. It's a great testimony. Watch this, and I believe it'll really encourage you about how to follow God's will.
And I really dislike religion. So much so that God has placed me in a country where it is so prevalent, it just chokes people. You know, it just chokes the breath out of them.
But there are many of you who really have had God reveal to you that He's got a special purpose and plan for your life. And you think, well, that's it. God, now You've told me what to do. I can handle it from here.
The transition actually happened before I came to CBC. God woke me up one morning early in 2004 and asked me to sell my home and everything. And I said, okay. I had originally thought about going and spending time in monasteries around the United States. And I knew my mom wouldn't be too happy about that since she's born again and spirit-filled. And I called her one day and I told her what I was planning. She said, you know, I think that's great. I'm just going to start praying for you. I thought that was kind of unusual, but I was happy about it. And then she called me a couple of weeks later and she said, you know who Andrew Womack is? And I said, no, I wouldn't know him if I ran into him. And she said, well, your dad and I went to one of his conferences, and she just described, you know, his ministry. And she said, you know, I saw him on television today, and he has a Bible college in Colorado Springs. And I called the prayer line and he gave me several scriptures for you. So she gave them to me and I got off the telephone with her, and the Lord said, I want you to write these down. And it was a profound word from God, and I knew that this is where I was supposed to be. You know, my problem wasn't religion. I mean, even when I was living in the world, I knew God loved me. My mom taught me that God loved me. But I was pretty self-centered, so the thing that God worked with me was on self-centeredness.
You know what? As long as you are all wrapped up in yourself, you make a very small package. You are going to have to be delivered from yourself, from trusting in yourself, either in a good way or in a negative way. You are going to have to be delivered from that and get to a place where you come to where, God, it's not me. It's got to be You in my life. As long as there is self-trust, as long as you think, God, what a wise choice You made in choosing me. I can see the wisdom. I'm an awesome person. You just get me on the stage and I can handle it from here. If that's your attitude, you're destined to fail. You need to come to a place to where you recognize that you, without Christ, can do nothing.
When I first came to school, I didn't know who Andrew was. And when I met him, I just watched him. In years in business, you know, I'd learned that if you want to do something, you want to excel in something, find someone that does it, you know, and either mentor under them or hire them. And, you know, you take that experience and you move through what you're doing into the place that you want to be. So I watched Andrew for a couple of weeks and I thought, that is what I want. I want that. Because I saw his ministry, I saw the success of what he was doing for God, not physical things, but where he was and what he was teaching and how he was teaching and the results he was achieving. And so I decided to submit to that and sit under it. And that's why I am where I am today. I'm called to Africa. I will be there for the rest of my life. My heart for ministry in Africa is discipleship. That's pretty simple. I really don't have any other plan. Yeah, but out of discipleship is teaching and revelation and raising people up. everything that we learned is fundamentally based on the concept of discipleship. I'm a disciple of Andrew's, and I'm making disciples. You know, I teach the same thing. I repeat the same thing over and over and over and over. And I repeat it in the context of the tools that we're given. I haven't gone out and tried to recreate the wheel. After teaching the discipleship program, when I came back to the U.S., I got permission to use the core curriculum of the first year Bible college curriculum, which is Andrew's courses, Don Crow's courses, and Wendell's courses. So we went back to Kasese for 5 months, and Pastor Webster and Tallow, who works with me, we've been teaching together for almost 3 years now. And we took the DVDs and the curriculum, and we sat in the hotel and we watched the DVDs, and then we took it and we taught it in context. We taught it live, and we would reach a point where we could tell from the questions that the people were not having breakthroughs, so we take it back to the beginning. You know, everything that Andrew teaches hangs on spirit, soul, and body. And so we would take, when we were having our time, we'd take it back to the illustration of spirit, soul, and body. And we would, you know, we could hang our hats on those pegs, you know. And so we would, when people would have questions, we would go back and say, you know, this is what happened in your spirit. You know, this is your soul. This is your body. And so every question, we could take them back to that, and it would bring clarity. And so there were 3 Saturdays during the 5 month period that we had to go back to the very beginning. But by the end of the program, we had 49 pastors that got it, that weren't sitting there doodling on their paper, that they stood and they said, "We will never be deceived again." I'm going to tell you, there are doctorates of misinformation hanging on walls all over the world. And I really dislike religion, so much so that God has placed me in a country where it is so prevalent, it just chokes people, you know, it just chokes the breath out of them. And they're just lying there wondering if God loves them. I mean, people think they're going to hell. They really don't know they're going to heaven. People don't know that God loves them. People don't really understand their salvation. But I'm going to tell you, God has given us a plan, and He's given us the tools through Andrew, and we're seeing people change forever. And it's not just surface, it is in their spirit, and they've got it.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Follow God's Will was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes 3 albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting 4 stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The 4th audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this 4th CD titled Follow the Peace, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount.
Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Boston, Massachusetts this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 12th through the 14th and in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 12th through the 17th. He'll also be in Johnson City, Tennessee September 18th through the 19th in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th, and in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England, for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Charis Bible College graduates are changing the world. CBC graduate Leland Shores III moved to Uganda, where he met his wife, Carol, and immediately began teaching the Word of God, establishing Charis Bible College Uganda, and helping spread the gospel truth in this predominantly Christian nation. CBC Uganda is in its first year and is already having a huge impact on this growing harvest field. For more information on this and other stories, visit awmi.net. Click on Ministry News and discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries. Invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today. There's much more than just classroom activity at Charis Bible College. Students participate in hands-on ministry, like working on the ministry helpline.
I'm a first-year student at CBC, and I work in the phone center full-time.
I'm a second-year student at CBC, and I work full-time in the phone ministry.
90% of the volunteers in the phone center are Charis Bible College students.
Thank you for calling Andrew Womack Ministries.
80% of the employees are CBC graduates.
I'm a graduate of CBC last year in 2009, and I've been working in the phone center for 2 years.
The ministry and the college are working hand in hand to deliver the gospel truth every day.
We're changing lives and we're changing the world one life at a time.